It's great to have our congregations together this morning for this fabulous Easter day. Now, I'm a huge fan of stories, and my kids will tell you that I love telling stories to them, and we're going to have one of my favourite stories this morning, and it's going to form our talk. And Kayla May is going to come and kick it off for us with a bit of this story.
Long ago, three trees stood upon a hill, dreaming of what they would become. The first tree dreamed of becoming a beautiful treasure chest. "I want to hold the finest treasure in the world," she told the other trees. She imagined herself as an intricately carved chest filled with gems, gold, and other treasures. The second tree dreamed of becoming a strong sailing ship. He declared proudly, "I want to carry kings and princes on their important voyages around the world." He imagined himself large and powerful, sailing the mighty seas. The third tree dreamed of growing great and tall. "I want people to look up at the hill and see me standing here, pointing up to heaven," she exclaimed. She imagined herself full of branches, pointing proudly and happily to the sky. She hoped people would look up at her and remember God and his love for them. Years passed, and the three young trees grew tall and sturdy. One day, three woodsmen climbed the hill where the three trees stood. A woodsman came to the first tree and said, "This tree will do. The carpenter will be happy to buy such fine wood," and he cut the tree and carried her away to the carpenter's shop. "Now I will become the treasure chest I dreamed of being," thought the tree. A woodsman came to the second tree and said, "This tree will do. The ship builder will be happy to buy such sturdy wood," and he cut the tree down and carried him away. "Soon I will be made into a mighty sailing ship for kings," hoped the tree. A woodsman came to the third tree. She stood proud and tall, happily pointing to heaven. "Any tree will do for me," muttered the woodsman, and he cut her down and carried her away.
As our friends are on the road to Emmaus, they reach a point of downcast. Their hopes and their dreams for the future are gone. It can sound rather familiar, can't it? When we look at the horizon of our lives, we all have hopes and we all have dreams of what we might become. Some of us will be looking ahead, others perhaps looking back. We'll have a range of views of how we feel our lives have gone or how they are going. The voices of our lives can have a big impact, can't they? But which voice are you listening to? As they travelled to the tomb and as they travelled on the road to Emmaus, there were all sorts of voices that day. Which voice?
They're destroying everything.
It's on the back. Get off the back for Daddy.
Whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I can see.
Why didn't you obey your orders and arrest him?
Because no one ever spoke the way this man does.
What charges are you bringing against this man?
He's a blasphemer and a criminal. Crucify him.
Why? What evil has this man committed?
Crucify him!
Give them what they want.
A crown of thorns for the king of the Jews.
Stretch him out.
How can he save others when he can't even save himself?
Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.
Please, God, don't take my son, please.
He's dead. Get him down.
Let me take the body. Please, he needs a proper burial.
He wasn't the savior we thought he was.
What now? It's over.
Hope for the future. But our three trees find themselves in a position of hopelessness.
Back in the carpenter's shop, the first tree was not carved into a treasure chest. Rather, she was made into a plain and rough beadbox for animals. How can I hold treasure now? I will only hold hay and straw for the first tree with deep sadness. Back at the shipyard, the second tree was not made into a mighty sailing ship. Rather, he was crafted into a simple and small fishing boat. I will only be filled with dying fish. How can I carry things the moment of the tree? And in the lumberyard lay the third tree in a pile of wood, not made into anything. Her hopes and dreams dashed. Now I will not be what I dreamed of, for how can I point the way to God now that I have been cut down, lying here in this pile? I'll simply wither and rot. Many years passed, and the trees forgot their dreams.
The three trees had such hopes and aspirations of what they might become. Perhaps just the same as when God made the world. He had such high hopes of what it would become. But before long, the dream got a little tarnished. It no longer resembled what it was intended for. Jesus had many moments like that with his friends, the disciples. He had so many occasions when he hoped that they would understand who he was and be able to become the men he had called them to be. But even as Jesus had risen and everything they were hoping for was actually taking place, the disciples were sitting in a room hiding. The Easter story reflects that life journey over 3 days. Jesus was the hope of the nation, but he died on the cross and was laid in the tomb. Over those 2 days, the dream seemed lost. It's at points like that in our lives when we can come unstuck too. When the dream wasn't what we thought it would be. But the story of Jesus is one that reflects hope, not over a lifetime, but over an eternity. The three trees.
Then, one dark night, the feed box that was made from the first tree stood in an ordinary stable, humbly providing a place of nourishment for the animals all around. Except this night was different. A young man and woman found refuge here from the crowds of the town when no room was found in the inns. As the moon rose high over the stable, a baby was born. The new mother sang a lullaby as she gently laid her son on in the feed box. A sense of awe filled the feed box. Surely this baby was greater than any treasure the whole world could hold. Years went by, and the second tree found himself daily sailing the waters of an ordinary lake. Net loads of fish flipped and flopped on his deck, but one day, as he skimmed the gentle waves, his owner pulled him to shore. Crowds had gathered on the beach, seeking to hear one remarkable young man whose words were filled with life and truth. The press of the masses had made it necessary for the teacher to set out into the lake to be heard better. The authority with which the teacher spoke brought new life to the simple boat. and he knew he carried in his hull the wisdom of the King of Kings.
The story of Easter is a terrible story if we stop at Saturday. It's one filled with grief, with sadness and disappointment. But that is not the story of Easter. Jesus Christ's resurrection is a sign and a symbol for all those who believe that hope is alive and it is well. We might have perhaps reached the crossroads in our journeys so far that have maybe left us a little battered and bruised, maybe even scarred. But the life Jesus Christ offers is one of wholeness, of light, of hope. The dreams of the three trees are fulfilled, but in ways they did not imagine. That is the story of Easter, the promise from God that he delivers, that he lives, that the dream is not over. And when we look into the horizons of our lives, we need to be looking beyond what we see, because God is looking way further than that. We need to trust that he does know what he is doing. Not only does God know what he's doing, but it was planned all along. So what is our own? What voice do we listen to? How do we feel about the dreams of our lives? Do we give him the invitation to work in us? Because God turns up when we think it's not quite as good as we thought it was going to be. He emerges from the tomb, and the story has a very different ending. Caleb.
Just a few years later, the third tree was nailed into a rugged shape and placed on the back of a man. She was sad that the hurt man was forced to carry her down the long, dusty path and up the hill. At the top of the hill, she nearly cried when the man's hands and feet were nailed into her wood. She thought her dreams were over as the hours passed and the weary man breathed his last. After his body was taken down and placed in a tomb, she stood shamefully on the hill. Miraculously, as the sun rose on Sunday morning, the third tree gazed from atop the hill to the place where the man's body had been taken. She saw an empty tomb and women standing there amazed. Suddenly, the tree knew that whenever people looked at her, they would remember God's love for them. Full of joy, she stood straight and tall on the hill, pointing to heaven.
So what is the end of your story? On this Easter morning, it is one of a dream come true, better than the tree could ever have imagined. What is that Easter story for you as resurrection people? My hope, our hope, is that as we come to these waters this morning, that we are reminded of the newness of life that emerged not from the tomb, but that emerged for us from the tomb, that the gates were flung wide open. And I was reflecting recently on a walk with friends that when you come to a large gate on a walk, how often do you see particularly kids begin to climb? They start clambering over the gate and then you just open it with them on it and you just open the gate that was all ready to walk through. We don't need to find another path. We don't need to find another entry point. The gates have been flung wide open. There is an opportunity for our dreams to last an eternity. That as we enter the water of baptism, we leave behind our old self and we take on a new clothing, a bright clothing, a living clothing, a clothing that lasts for eternity. That is the hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, that when chaos reigned over the waters, you looked and you knew
all that would have to happen. And you did it for us. You sent your one and only Son for our salvation. So we pray, Father, that you would speak afresh into our lives wherever we are on the journey of our dreams. Whether we feel dashed or broken or living them out, wherever we are living in that journey, that you would meet us in the cross and in the empty tomb, and you would lead us forwards in the knowledge that you are with us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Lee and Kayla May. What a double act, brilliant. We're going to sing again, possibly one of my very favourite Easter songs, Oh Happy Day, the greatest day in history. Will you stand and join with me, if you're able, as we sing?
People sitting out in the lobby there. If you want to join in and bring your short prayer praise, come and stand in the doorway between the two seating areas, and then everybody stands a chance of hearing your prayer of praise. So please do accept the invitation of bringing your short prayer of praise after I've just expressed our appreciation for our wondrous Saviour. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for the privilege of being in this place today, where we can express our praise and adoration of your Son, who shed his life, and you spared him through the resurrection to eternal life, that we may know something of the blessing that you bestow upon us. Lord, thank you. We honor you and praise your name. So, Father, accept these prayers of praise. We honor your name. We worship your Son. We give you thanks for him. Amen. If you're able, would you care to stand and sing together the next song, Ode to See the Dawn? During this time, the offering will be taken. It may seem a bit chaotic for you this morning with so many of us here, but we will be trying to service that offering as the song is taken. Please stand and sing.
Thank you.
He do it? He rescues them through the waters of the Red Sea. So water is a symbol of also of rescue from slavery to freedom. Also, slightly later on in the Bible, the story of Joshua, God promises the people that they will have a land of their own, and they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Then they cross the River Jordan. And it's a place from without a home in the wilderness to a place where their home is known and secure. So it's about becoming clean. It's about a fresh start. It's about going from slavery to freedom. It's about going from a place of not belonging to a place of knowing securely where you belong. And then, of course, most importantly, with the Easter story, which I guess you all kind of now know, it's a story of death to life. You see, the problem is, right at the beginning of the Bible, death comes into the world in the Garden of Eden and the snake and all that kind of stuff. You kind of remember the Adam and Eve story. And the problem is, that perfect relationship with God was, that was it. It was kaput. And even in ourselves, we do stuff that's wrong and we mess up all the time. And we just find ourselves in a mire so often. We need a rescuer. The rescuer comes eventually. You know, we've got to go plow through the whole of the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus arrives. Jesus lives that sinless life that we cannot live. And he dies the death that we deserve so that we can be raised to life with him. Not just when we die, although we've got that promise too, but actually the life that God promises is actually life that we can enjoy now. We don't have to wait to experience heaven till when we die. And hopefully you may feel that you've experienced a little bit of heaven this morning. A vast multitude that no one can number singing their praises to God just about is what it looks like from where I'm standing, which is great. It's a promise that we've got. And it's a promise that we can sort of understand intellectually in our minds to a certain extent. But it's something that comes from faith. And actually, God has children. He has no grandchildren. Everybody comes to faith in their own way. And we have today six people who have experienced God in their lives. And what they're going to do is they're going to come bravely, so give them lots of support and love, to the microphone to tell a little of their story of why they're wanting to be baptized today. Then they will come down into the water and they will be prayed for. And then they will come out of the water and we will sing a chorus of Oh Happy Day. And there can be plenty of whooping and cheering. That's always allowed as well. And then they will happily drip in with great joy and a smile on their faces back to their seats. That's the plan, at least. So the first person that we're going to hear the story of is a wonderful young lady called Tiffany Coles. So, Tiff, do come up, and I'm going to, at this point, take my microphone off, because microphones and baptizing don't mix very well.
Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and reveal yourself to Tiffany. You'd reveal the Father in his fullness to Tiffany. You'd reveal Jesus in all his glory to Tiffany. Father, she would become, through that, a testimony of of your love and your grace and your goodness. Amen. Thank you. Tiffany, I have some questions to ask you. And these are the ones that she has...
We've gone through together, as I have with everybody who is being baptized, so they know exactly what they're promising. So, Tiff, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes, I believe.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptized?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
Well, because you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, I now have the great privilege of baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God has been around for as long as I remember, through all the good and bad things I've done. I come to be baptized today because of his perfect love and forgiveness, and to let him do with what he wants with my life.
Thank you, Reba. Do come down. Tom will give you a hand down into the water. And the verse that I have for you... Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Oh, an extra step I'd forgotten about, which I wasn't expecting there. Mark, come pray for Reuben.
I'm only doing these two, don't worry. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal to Reuben more and more of your love each day, that he would know the Father, know him deeply. He would know you, Jesus, and would know you, Holy Spirit, working in his life each day. Amen.
Reuben, come stand near the front. That's it, lovely. And here are the questions that I have for you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour?
Yes, I believe.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptized?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
Well, Reuben, because you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, I have the great privilege and pleasure of baptizing you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I became a Christian. Long story short, I had help from a joint talking and singing hot dog. After I got back home, my mum and Tom went about getting me baptised. And at first I didn't really want to, because I didn't think that I could be good enough. But I talked about it and I realised I may not be perfect, but I'll do my best. And in God's eyes, I am perfect.
Fee, the verse I have for you is from Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Be assured of this, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Tom, would you like to pray for Fee?
Lord and Father, I thank you for Fee's obedience to your call, that she went up to the front at Soul Survivor and gave her life to you, and then since then she's just sought to try and follow your ways and your commands, Lord. And I thank you now that as this sign of obedience to what you call her to do, she's putting herself forward to be baptized into your wonderful name, Lord. I thank you for the ongoing walk she has with you. And I thank you for bringing her into my life. Amen.
Fee, the promises that you are making today. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour.
Yes, I believe.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptised?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
Well, because you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, I have the pleasure of baptising you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for everyone that has come here today to witness myself and others give our lives into the hands of God. My journey with God I found quite difficult, but never doubted for things to get better. I never always had faith in my God. My journey started out with myself being dragged along to church. Not understanding why, but never said so. At the age of 7, I just found out that whilst my dad had been away in China for the past couple of months, my mum had been diagnosed with cancer. My young age, all I was told is cancer kills and nothing else. Nor at that age had I known a person that had survived cancer. Thought the only person around me at the time was going to leave me. Didn't know what to do. But to help, act like it didn't happen, even find a treatment. Well, at least I thought the seven-year-old could cure cancer at the time. I didn't know what else to do until I suddenly found myself in the middle of the night praying. I'd never done this before, but it almost felt as if I knew exactly what to do, as if this newly found gift led to a person I always knew, God. I continued to pray for that my mum would get better. I didn't know how that could happen. All I knew is that my mum was ill and I wanted her to get better. The next day, I woke up almost relieved. For the next couple of weeks, I remembered staying with my nan and granddad, who took me in with loving arms, despite how annoying I could be. I shan't say only at that age. I remember leaving the house, going to the hospital and sitting in a wheelchair, so my nan and granddad wheeled me along. When we arrived at the rooms, I remember seeing Emmerdale play on the TV screen with my mom packing her things, and then see her sit in the wheelchair and got wheeled along. I don't know why, I just stood there, watching her be wheeled off until seeing myself sprint towards her. I watched her exit the chair into the awaiting red car as the chair gets wheeled back inside. Suddenly realised that day what had happened the weeks before, and how after my prayers for my mum to get better, I attended weekly services, not only willing but wanting to learn about my God. I remember watching the VeggieTales, constantly comparing it to God and his life. As I got older, to the age of 12, I began attending my first cricket club. This was sometimes difficult as I attended regular cricket matches on a Sunday, forcing me to choose between my cricket and my God. I always felt bad about this. As I continued, I got better and better. As my first cricket season came to an end, I realised it was time to go back to church. I was scared. Scared of the fact that people would give me a funny look or think bad of me for missing church services for months. So I entered in. I suddenly wasn't scared at all. I was instantly welcomed. Everyone was pleased to see me. I hoped and I felt better as if I had never left. I realised when I felt bad about me choosing cricket over the one who died for my sins, it didn't matter. God doesn't leave me because I don't attend church for a couple of months. He's always with me. Now, over the last couple of months, I realised that God has given so much to me and that he deserves more than endless thanks. I realised it was time for me to proclaim my God as my saviour and encourage others to follow his teachings, just how I ended up doing. Ever since I met my God, life changed completely, but seemed normal, as if it never happened, although I knew it did. Amen.
Amen.
Liam, the verse that I have for you is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Tom, do you want to pray for Liam?
Lord, it's been such an absolute joy having Liam with us. He's so full of life and he's so full of passion for you as well, Father. May your Holy Spirit come down upon him. May he know you strong and powerful in his life. May he follow all that you call him to. Amen.
So Liam, the questions which I kind of guess I know the answer to. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour?
Yes, I believe.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptised?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
Liam, as you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, we baptise you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh,
kids about talking vegetables and talking hot dogs. And what we really hope is they come to know Jesus. So for me, it was a singing blue songbook. So there was no better than either. Right, it is my privilege to invite Luke up to come and tell us why he's here this morning.
Right, I was told to speak for 5 minutes or less about my journey with Jesus. I've known it my whole life, so, you know, it's an awful lot to talk about, but I'll try and keep it reasonably short and simple, as those of you that will know that the last thing you want me to do is to go on a tangent. I was brought up in a Christian home and dedicated at the age of 3 months. I recall having a large level of curiosity at a young age, which I certainly still have now. At the age of about 3, I not only spent many evenings dissecting parts of the Lord's Prayer in order to figure out whether I understood or meant what I was saying, but also, according to my mum and dad, asked them how to explain the concept of the Trinity. Christian values have always been present in me. I don't speak crudely or use bad language, although my unironic overuse of heck does turn a few heads. Before any difficult decision, I always consult my good old father up there and thank him for every good faith that comes my way. Prayer has very vastly become my go-to solution for many problems, and definitely the best. In 2015, as I joined secondary school, I struggled to uphold these values. I tried to fit in the school and admittedly said a few things which I probably wouldn't say today. Stresses and anxiety seemed to become a priority, and that period is probably the roughest patch so far in my relatively short life. That year was the biggest struggle I'd faced. I couldn't be home alone for half an hour without breaking down in panic and tears over my new things. After a few weeks, I went to the doctor and was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Every little worry could not exit my mind until I told mum or dad. Of course, this meant that a worry would play in my head repeatedly for hours if it came to me at the start of the school day. Until a year and a half later, a thought came to me. What if I handed them over to God? It seems stupid now how much I ignored this blatant solution, even when others were telling me to do so, but it worked. And for the past year and a bit, I would consider myself cured, free of anxiety. Last year, I joined the Telford Youth Fellowship, TYF. I tried courses in youth groups, but I never completely felt as though I fitted in. For TYF, I knew no one there, but straight away I clicked. This felt like a group and community that I wanted to be a part of. Having been part of the group for a couple of months, but still struggling to remember more than one or two people's names, I felt joyment and soul survivor. It took a lot for me, because I was extremely nervous and homesick when staying away, but something drew me to this event. Somehow I knew it was going to be significant. And heck, it was. To my constantly confused friend here today, this may make me sound like an utter lunatic, a drunk, or a fool, but that's perfectly normal and a biblical reaction. The entire week was wonderful, but on the penultimate night, my fellow actually felt calling to bring joy into the room. And simultaneously, 4,000 people burst into spontaneous laughter. It lasted about half an hour where I was uncontrollably laughing, crying, and shaking. It was at that moment that Christianity wasn't just the faith I grew up with, it was my faith. That week was the best week of my life, and I made some of my best friends on that week. Friends which I'm happy enough to be standing in front of today to make this commitment. Admittedly, I thought I'd had one of the closest relationships with God, and even asked him to be baptized over a year before I went to Soul Survivor. But Soul Survivor showed that it could go so much further. In many ways, as Ian told us at the course, a baptism is like a wedding, a public declaration of commitment. However, in films, the marriage is often the end of the story. My journey with God is just beginning, and yes, there'll be arguments, disputes, and confusions, but at the end of the day, we stick together, and I'm not ready to roll credits on this story just yet. This is just my way of making sure I stay around for the sequel.
Come and join us, and watch that bottom step, it's a bit slippery. We have a verse for you, Luke, from 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And I know those values being so important to you, and we're going to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Luke. We thank you for the way that you are transforming and changing his life and his worldly perspective. We thank you that you are speaking in him, but you are also speaking through him. We thank you
for the love that you have placed in him at all. The fact, Lord, that you have placed in him a heart to serve others. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless him, not only this day, but for the days that to come. And Father, your Holy Spirit would continue to move and grow within him, that he may share that faith unreservedly as he does with others, that they too may know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Luke has also been diligently with me as we've done a baptism classes, and
it's been good fun, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I come with confidence to ask you these three questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, I believe.
And in obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptized?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
So Luke, because you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, it's our privilege and pleasure to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Here today is because after listening to some of our church peers' experiences of our amazing God, I believe then there wasn't something special for me, as I had no confidence. I now know that our Father in heaven has a plan for me. When I feel lonely, confused, anxious, and speechless, I now know that our Father in heaven is real and that he can save me from being these feelings that I encounter. And finally, when I have achieved a personal goal in life, I now know that our Father in heaven has always loved me and has great plans for me, as it says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God bless you all.
Dan, come and join us in the water. Dan, it's a privilege to stand here with you today and see the journey that God has taken you on. So we share these words from Romans 8:28 with you. And we know that in all things
God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So Dan, we pray for you. We pray that as much as you know of yourself, that you give all of that to as much of you know as you know of your Saviour. Father, we thank you that you speak to Dan so clearly. We thank you that you hear him, that you listen to him. And Father, on this day, we pray that your Spirit would continue to open his understanding to you. that, Father, you would continue to impress upon him that love that he has for others, that servant heart, just like Luke, Lord, that he just wants to help other people. And, Father, we pray that you would continue to grow that in him. Heavenly Father, would you place your Holy Spirit on him and within him to strengthen him? We continue to pray, Lord, that you would grow that confidence in him that you've been working on these last few years. And we pray, Father, that you would just pour your Holy Spirit in more and more this morning. Amen.
So, Dan, the questions are the same as everybody else's. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour?
Yes, I believe.
And in obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins, renounce evil, and come to be baptised?
Yes, I repent.
And do you promise, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to serve Jesus Christ forever within the fellowship of his church?
Yes, I promise.
Well, because you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Saviour, Lee and I get this great opportunity to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Drip quietly while we continue with our service. In a moment or two, you're going to have the opportunity for all of us to renew our baptism vows that we may have made a long time ago. Or, if you haven't yet make that commitment. Still nice warm water here. But no, you please do talk to myself or Lee, or if you're from another church, your church leader there. And just to explore a little bit more about what this commitment means and just how much it can be transforming of your life, both for this world and for all eternity. Before we do that, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a song that's been particularly chosen by the baptism candidates, the youth this time. It's a song which I hope you know, and if you don't, you'll certainly know it by the end. It's called The Way, which really sums up a lot of our journeys of what it's been like before and then after meeting Jesus. Please, let's stand and sing.
No way, you came to my rescue. From the grave I've been raised. When I needed a savior to save me, Jesus, you made a way. I'm blind, but these eyes have been opened. Now I walk in the light. Every step on this road I will follow, Jesus, you made a way. You are the one.
it up.
Ian is here, isn't he?
That's a short one, Alan.
Doesn't need one of these.
So, to renew our baptism vows. The words are printed on the right-hand page inside. So I ask you, as the people of God in this place, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
We do.
This is the God in whom we trust. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour?
We do.
He has redeemed us and called us by name. And do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
We do.
Christ is our way. With the Spirit's help, we will follow this Jesus in the church and in the world. As we remain standing, let's just be quiet for a moment and just reflect on those times, perhaps in this past week, where we have not acknowledged Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord, where we have not turned from our sin or renounced evil. Lord, though many of us may be Christians, we recognise that we still remained flawed human beings. And we thank you that your death on the cross covers our sins, even these of this past week. Lord, we thank you that you are our Saviour, that you are our Lord. Help us to obey you. Help us to follow your pattern and your example. Help us to be lovers of justice and mercy and peace. Would you help us to do what is right, to look at the needs of others beyond our own, that we may look for ways to serve one another, and by doing that, to grow as your disciples. Amen. And also on the same sheet, I've got a prayer for those who have been baptized today, that we are the witnesses in the same way that at a wedding we would be the witnesses. Oops, let's not do that. We're the witnesses of a man and woman coming together and making their promises in the same way that these guys have made their promise to follow God. And so actually we have now the right to hold our candidates to those promises so that we have, if you like, their permission. I'm just catching their eyes here. Permission to sort of say, hang on, actually, you baptised. You said that Jesus is your Saviour and your Lord. Actually, now, is this behaviour or is this decision actually honouring to him? Is it a right one? Because we all have that responsibility, one to another, to keep us on the road with Jesus. So let's pray this prayer for those who've been baptized today together. We promise to pray for you, to encourage and support you, for together we are disciples of Jesus Christ and members of his body. Let us walk together before the Lord in ways that are known and yet to be made known, gathering for worship, seeking the mind of Christ, praying for God's kingdom and sharing in its life and witness. We are sisters and brothers together. Praise be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Please do take your seats. And Dave is going to come and pray on behalf of us all.
Make sure I don't end up in there. I've already been once. Let us pray. The first Easter day began with the words of the angel, "Do not be afraid." The sight of a stone rolled away and the body that had gone was a massive change from their expectations. Lord, we recognize that in our lives, circumstances will sometimes change dramatically. We understand that change can cause cause us to fear, and that fear can turn to anger or disengagement from life. Help us to hear the words of your angel and recognize that we can have control over how we react to circumstances. May we listen to a voice that brings hope and life, even in the most unexpected of places. We pray for the light of your truth to dawn. The first Easter day began with an unexpected encounter with the resurrected Jesus. We thank you for this record that we have of the unbridled joy and wonder at the discovery that death does not have the last word, that tyranny and oppression do not have the last word, that our emotions and our doubt do not have the last word, but that you are the last and the greatest word. You are the way and the truth and the life. Nothing is outside your control, and you walk with us ahead of us, and you love us enough that you may die for us, and you have the power even to overcome death. May we too have the eyes to see a resurrected Saviour, a prayer for truth in the light of dawn again this Easter morning. This is a poem I wrote a few years ago. I was on a road trip, going up Calvary Hill. I saw a man was struggling. In fact, he looked quite ill. I paused as he passed. I looked him in the face. I couldn't believe the eyes were full of grace. He was struggling, for on his back was a cross. I couldn't understand. I was at a loss. I suddenly remembered and looked up in the skies. I saw the face was Jesus. Tears came to my eyes. I would follow him wherever I was sent. Jesus is our Saviour. Let us all repent. Amen.
Today is Resurrection Morning. Today, new life has begun. Today, let us celebrate a risen Saviour. We're going to close our time of worship together by singing a great Easter hymn. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory that thou o'er death has won. Let's stand and belt this one out to the heavens.